You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What's up and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host Rafe Houston and today I'm joined by a very special guest. Now before I hand the mic over to my guy here, I got to do the proper introduction, right? He is the cold-hearted player, the squat god, the sole owner and proprietor of ICW No Holds Barred, my fucking guy, Danny fucking DeMonto. How are you, my man?
I am definitely your guy because I definitely wouldn't be doing one of these interviews right now if it wasn't you,
thank you,
asking the questions.
I love that. I know you don't do these too often. I think I've only ever seen you do one other one since we last spoke like 2.5 years ago prior to your other trip to Australia. So I'm really, really excited that you're going to be back.
I don't do often.
Yeah.
I don't do them often.
I appreciate it. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you putting aside an evening for me. And we, like you said, like before we started this, we're like, we need to actually hit record because otherwise we're just going to end up fucking banging on for an hour and be like, oh, we're out of time. So
absolutely. And not even realize that we're not recording.
Exactly right. We were already into it. So dude, thank you so much. I'm so excited for everything you've got coming up and I'm really excited to have a chance to highlight it to everybody. ICW No Holds Barred coming off a huge weekend down in Chattanooga, but we are going to be talking about everything leading into the Australian tour, the Deathmatch Down Under Tag Team Dream Tournament, and also ICW No Holds Barred in Japan. Holy fuck.
Oh.
Man, you've been busy.
Yeah, there's definitely some fireworks going off lately.
Absolutely. Sure. How's it feel? Yeah. Because, I mean, you've obviously, these are things that you've been working towards. I remember when we were chatting at the last one, just even coming to Australia was a crazy thing to do. Now you're not only doing that and then leapfrogging onto Japan and then leapfrogging onto Scotland. Like, it's worldwide right now. That's pretty amazing.
We have more international shows booked, well, announced right now than we do national shows.
That's crazy.
Announced right now.
That's crazy.
I mean, there is more, you know, obvious local shows that I haven't announced yet. But
yeah,
on paper, people know more international shows than national shows, which is so crazy to me.
It is. You know? It is. Do you think that speaks to, and it definitely speaks to it for me, when I first watched ICW No Holds Barred, I had heard the buzz about Volume 1, then Volume 2 drops in COVID in that parking lot, you know, Atlantic City, I believe it was, number 2.
Yep.
It was in a time when, like, nobody could watch wrestling. And then you guys run, and you guys did something very, very special that day. Do you think, as weird as it is when you look at this timeline, do you think if COVID hadn't happened, you would almost be in a different position? Like, it gave you guys like an opportunity to step into the fucking limelight and carry wrestling on your back for a while there. And I think that really increased your reach because I know for me as like an Australian fan, I probably never would have locked into you guys like I did if you weren't like carrying it for me during that time, you know?
We definitely wouldn't have gotten that fast of a worldwide connection.
Sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Volume 1 did like crazy record breaking numbers at the time on IWTV.
Yeah, I remember it was real big. Yeah.
I don't know if it has ever been surpassed or whatnot. It was a different time. Actually, it was surpassed by Volume 2, but Volume 2 was watched by so many people because the world was so shut down.
Yeah.
Do I think that ICW would be right where we are right now? No, because the butterfly effect is what it is. But
if you think back,
if the world didn't shut down, that volume, the original Volume 2 lineup that was going to happen at the White Eagle Hall was only half announced. But the halfway point had Nick Gage versus Pagano, S.A. Rios versus Tony Deppen, Big F and Joe was making his debut at that time against Matt Tremont. Tessa Blanchard versus Amazing Red.
Yeah, wow.
And all of those things were going to happen on the same show. And we were going to say we were going to stay on that like White Eagle Hall level of violence instead of going like full death.
Full death.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Deathmatch was always in my, in the roots though.
Yeah.
I committed once we decided to bring GCW to where it was going to be with the Nick Gage Invitational, that very first show is when I felt that I committed myself to the deathmatch scene. Was there times that I weaved in and out with the former company? Yes. But then I felt that once ICW started back up that I knew my lane. I knew where I fit. I knew the people I wanted to be around. And that was the deathmatch community. Deathmatch shows are very, very different than your traditional wrestling shows. Sure. And I'm not talking just about what happens inside of the ring. I'm talking more about what happens outside of the ring. It's more like a family reunion, but just in a different town. I just get to see different parts of my family in different areas. That's how I truly feel.
Yeah.
A lot of the fans and the wrestlers go out together after the shows to the same bar. And it's almost like, you know, the $30 or $40, $50 ticket is their contribution to making the thing happen.
Yeah.
As opposed to I'm buying a ticket to this thing.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it really does. And I mean, I was at that last Australian tour and I always say, and still always say, it was the best weekend of wrestling like I've ever been a part of. And I have traveled to some amazing places, but like the vibe and the like togetherness of everybody and just the absolute loving that was it. Like, I mean, you'll remember that last day was one of the most emotional wrestling shows I've ever been to. Because everybody was just like, I can't believe this.
Fucking baby.
We all did constantly, like the whole day. Like it was crazy. And it was just really, really special. I felt so happy to be.
You
want to
know something wild though?
What's that?
Is that I get to experience that every single time we have shows.
That must be exhausting.
There's always gonna be somebody. I mean, you saw wrestling all over the world, correct? Mm-hmm. But that's your standout weekend.
Yeah.
Somebody always has that standout weekend, or somebody says, you know what? This was the best weekend we've ever had. Shout out to my guy, Jeff G. Bailey. He's been in professional wrestling way longer than me. He was a manager. He was a commentator. He did everything there was to do with NWA Wildside. When ICW popped back up, he became a fan first and he just called the last two shows in Chattanooga.
Yes.
He said right to me, he said, Danny, all my years, there's never been a weekend like this. And
that's awesome.
I get to hear that from so many different people.
Yeah.
Wrestlers, fans, staff members, first time people that have never gone to a deathmatch show ever in their life. You know, when they come up to you and they're like, I'm, you know, and they're like, what I call it, I call it going through it.
Yeah.
Because it's like a outer body experience, emotional thing that you feel for like pretty much the entire night.
Yeah.
But one thing that everybody always tells me, because we do like the double shot weekends and stuff like that, is, yo, I had such a bad time trying to fall asleep last night.
Really?
And that's like a real physical feeling that people feel when it comes to deathmatch wrestling. They can't come down from it. It's a high that regular wrestling fans don't understand.
Yeah.
And I feel like even new deathmatch wrestlers, like you know, Anakin Murphy, for example, he was definitely going through it after the match.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that shower sucked for him.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he stayed up to the wee hours in the morning, probably 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, scrolling on his phone or whatever he was doing, because it's a real physical feeling.
Yeah.
That, like I said, it's not for everybody to understand.
Yeah.
But those that understand it.
Would you say like the closest thing? I mean, when you talk about like what you and Anakin Murphy did last weekend, which is an amazing match and really like a kind of beautiful car crash before you begin this entire tour, which is sort of crazy because a lot of people had put their feet up, but you were in there. Like it's kind of like if you have like a near miss or a car accident or something like that, you know what I mean? And you've like survived this sort of, your body's like, we just survived a very traumatic thing. And you're like, I know I wanted to do it, but it's like all your survival instincts are still popping off, you know?
And I had a pretty much car crash on Friday with Tank. My body wasn't feeling great on Saturday when I woke up, but I knew for some reason that with the cancellations that we had that weekend, like last minute cancellations, that I was the best option for the role that needed to be put forth.
Sure.
And it worked out. I'm walking today. I'm fine.
Well, no thanks to yourself. Like I was interviewing Struggles at this exact time last week. It was the time it lined up, and he had the phone on and was like streaming ICW. He's like, I'm back in. I'm so excited about everything they're doing. And he was watching it as we were speaking. And then he was like, literally stopped talking while we were thinking. He's like, this motherfucker, Danny DeMonto's back up on that platform again. Like, and he was stressed about you hurting your ankle.
I scared the shit out of him.
Yes. And he was like, what the fuck?
I didn't jump off the platform, though.
Yeah,
I got yanked
off. You got him though. He was like, wait. Like, he was stressed. He told me that after you hurt your ankle, he came in. What's that, sir?
They all just want me to make it physically to Japan, and after that, if all of my body parts fall apart, it's on me.
Yeah,
but they all just want me to make it to Japan.
Yeah, I think I'm more stressed about what you guys are going to do in Japan now that you finally got the opportunity to be there than anything else. But let's get there. We won't bury the lead and jump straight into the Japan tour. Let's talk a little bit more about what this run in Australia is going to be. Last time we had those four shows and they were unbelievable. This time it's tied in with the Deathmatch Down Under Dream Weekend, and it is a new tournament.
And the Thursday show.
Yes.
The brewery.
That's right.
We start off the week at the brewery on Thursday with a loaded show. I didn't know Joel was going all pedal to the metal.
I was actually spewing about it, to be honest, because we can only get over for the weekend, and so we have to miss the Thursday show, which I'm absolutely gutted about.
Oh, my God. You're missing me and Vixen.
I know. I'm not impressed with Joel for booking this. He knows I wasn't going to be there. But I'm sure I'll catch all the video. He'll be putting it up. Surely he'll be putting it up. So.
Well, we couldn't do Friday because there's like another big show in Melbourne.
Yes,
on Friday.
Like they've got
with the great Muda.
Yeah, I was about to say it. Some fucked shit like Muda, and there was somebody else on it as well that was crazy. But that Thursday show looked absolutely awesome. Then you guys get a day off. Then it is the Dream Show, which is Deathmatch Tag Team Tournament.
Three rounds.
Yep.
Three rounds. Tag team deathmatch tournament. It's the first tag team deathmatch tournament ever in Australia.
Correct.
From what I understand.
Yep.
Me and my boy, Malcolm Monroe III.
Awesome.
We'll be teaming up. Mm-hmm. It's going to be special. If I go three rounds and lose, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
I would hate to put in all that work and I don't get the trophy.
Oh, absolutely, especially when it's not even that far away from the Japan leg of the tour as well. So, like, that's going to be coming up.
And there's still and what's the next thing you're going to plug?
And then we've got, like, the next day after surviving that tag team tournament, if you do, we then have ICW No Holds Barred in Australia.
Yeah,
what volume is that by then? 70-something?
76.
76. There you go. Yeah. On the Sunday. So that is wild. So huge shows, and it's just going to be a party.
I'm fighting Michael Weaver in the chains.
Absolutely. Big fan of his.
I've been doing my research on Big Mike, and he brings it, man.
He does.
He brings all he got.
Yeah, watch out for that lariat. That's for sure. He'll level you.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't need to be – and put out by another Australian.
Absolutely.
Did you know that Shaza McKenzie shot on me? Do you know about this?
No. What's she doing?
Yeah. So me and Shaza McKenzie were having a match at the world famous Berwyn Eagle in Berwyn,
I remember you guys fighting.
Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she puts her own belt around my throat.
I remember this.
When I thought that it was going to go by my like face or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
She gets me right by the throat and she yanks back as hard as she can.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't get a second to put like my finger in there and I was sleeping.
Oh my God.
I woke up and she beat me. That's how she beat me.
She literally knocked you out.
I was out cold. I woke up in a pile of my own drool and like there was like glass stuck to my face because like I really hit the canvas.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then like I cut like a half delirious promo putting her over or whatever I don't even remember what I said.
That's fucked.
Yeah. Shaza McKenzie. She put me right out.
Oh my crazy God. Crazy fucking
Australian.
Yep. Jesus Christ. How does that feel when you like lose consciousness
in a ring?
Yeah. It's scary.
Because like at first you're waking up and you feel like, oh, I'm waking up from, you know, a nap or whatever. You forget like you're not.
You're like
bed.
Dozy and stuff. Yeah.
And then like it starts coming to you. Oh, wait, I'm in a wrestling ring. Oh, wait, there's a crowd around me. Oh, wait, we are live on IWTV.
What the fuck has happened?
Just put me out cold.
Oh,
yeah,
my
God. Yeah.
That's so scary.
But it comes back to you in steps.
Yeah,
for sure. Ugh. Like at first you really think you're in your bed.
Yeah. That's
nuts. At first you think you're in your bed and you feel like you kind of bit your tongue.
Oof.
It's a weird feeling.
Yeah. I once had a conversation with you know, Aaron Williams.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. He's had
he got knocked out at ICW.
Yes, he's been that is one of the great stories he told me. But like the amount of times he's had that stuff happen to him where he's like finished whole matches. Fucking put his hands up and he's had to watch the footage back because he just doesn't remember it. And I was like, that's hectic.
Yeah,
but
I've had it happen a time or two as well.
Yeah.
There was one time it happened to the guy that I was wrestling and he obviously had a concussion. And like after the match, he just was so fucking annoying because he just kept asking me the same question. Like he was delirious over and over and
that's
over again.
Scary.
Like, hey, yo, did we do the dive? Or like, I'm using that for example.
Yeah.
But like he just kept over it. And I had to kind of like be nice about it because I was a part of the concussion.
Of course. Yeah. Also, it's like it's super annoying, but also it's like concern over the person and all those things. You know what I mean? Yeah, just like this guy
for
needs
sure.
medical help at this stage. So in the tournament, we'll rewind quickly. So in the tournament, there's some huge tag teams that you and MM3 are going to need to go through. You're talking about like the current Big Japan Deathmatch champions in Madman Pondo and Dale Patrick's people you
and
know.
If I get my hands on Pondo, it's our first time ever.
Really?
We've never been in a ring together. Yeah, me and Pondo have never been in a ring together.
That's wild to me, considering how long both of your careers have been.
And I only fought Dale once.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy. I'm rooting for that to happen because I think that would just be an unbelievable matchup.
But eventually it has to happen somewhere.
Yeah.
What about Joel and Jordan Sampson?
Absolutely. Absolute killers. Jordan Sampson, a former Dream Tournament winner, beating Neil Diamond Cutter just a couple of years ago. So he's no slouch. Right. Obviously, Sampson has been to ICW in America, as has Joel. Joel, former ICW No Spot champion. Yeah, absolutely.
Two times
for Sampson. Yeah, exactly. Oh, two times champion for Joel. Jesus, he gets around, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So no.
Does Joel get around? And then we got Vic Craig, and what's his tag partner?
Voidheart. Oh, what's he? He's my boy. Fucking, what's his name? Voidheart is Jonah. I'm sorry, brother. It's been a while. I only know your shoot name.
Is he small? Is he small?
No, he is not. He is not a small man at all.
Oh, he's a big fella.
Yeah. Not like titanically big, but bigger than most.
Not small like Vic.
No, no, absolutely not. No, no.
Bigger than me.
I mean, I've never met the man in real life, and I have met you. You're not a small man. You know. Yeah. Maybe he's a little bit shorter than you, but he's like a stocky guy. You know, whatever.
I'm just trying to do my research here.
Yeah, absolutely. You're hoping I can.
Is Guido and his partner in the tournament?
Yeah, I believe they are. So they're Guido. Yes, yes. So there's also the West Melbourne Express, which are Pete Morgan and Terry Shaw.
And then Vixen and the other girl.
Yep, absolutely. Vixen and her partner. I should have got all this stuff up. This is terrible radio by me. Sinful Fortune, which is Vixen and Miss Fortune.
There you go.
Yeah. I can tell you about these two. These are my boys from Perth, Western Australia, from Dude, Where's My Ring? The Pulse, Felix Young and Jared Slate, if you're familiar with them.
They are also on the chains.
Yes. Yes, they are. Absolutely.
They're fighting Guido and his partner.
Yes, exactly. Now, is Guido in it or is he just doing that thing? I think he's in it. I'm sorry, Guido. The website.
No, I'm pretty sure he's in the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've obviously.
I'm pretty sure that both teams that are fighting each other in the chains on Sunday are in the tournament.
Great. Well, that is good because I love Guido. I really think he is somebody like quite special in the Australian scene, you know, and he's had his ups and downs.
Before all of this obviously existed, you know, there was obviously talks of different deathmatch wrestlers and or hardcore wrestlers around the world. Mm-hmm. And Guido was definitely one of the first ones I knew about from Australia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm talking about like 20 years ago. Type of thing. Maybe not 20, but you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
When Australia didn't have a scene,
yeah,
Guido was doing hardcore matches on the regular shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He was the hardcore guy.
Yeah.
The same way, you know, in the United Kingdom, Iceman was, you know, crawling around the deathmatch, you know, around the UK scene for years and years and years because it was never accepted.
Yeah.
You know, the style that he wanted to do, and now it's flourishing in the United Kingdom.
Absolutely.
You know, there's I believe 5 deathmatch companies in the UK at this point.
Which is wild. And just one in Scotland, Bleeding Gums, which we just did a few weeks ago.
I'm counting that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Shout out to Iceman. Him and Necro just put on an all-timer, didn't they, at Bleeding Gums? That was wild.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I loved it.
Because like on a... And on like a wrestler's side, I don't want to pull back the curtain too much, mm-hmm. but I could tell that neither one of them shared any thoughts with each other before that match. It was just like, hey, see you out there, buddy. We're going to just fight each other.
Yeah.
Because there was no choreographed looking anything. It was just two fucking guys going out.
Just fighting. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I loved it. I got those names together. I'm actually organized now. So the Treaty of Daitangi is Vic Craig, and Voidheart JT Hollow is the man's name. So lovely.
There
dude.
We go.
There we go.
I did know that.
And then Guido is part of House of Frost with Guido and Crusher Cole. Now, I saw Crusher wrestle, I think it was just before, like when you guys were last here, I think he did like the opening show at like a bar or something. But at the time he had a bit of a busted knee and stuff. So it's cool to see that he's back active because he's a big man as well. Absolutely.
I'm very excited to see Xavier Black.
Yes, absolutely.
Because when I was there last time, he looked me dead in my face and said that he had his last death match right in front of me. And that was the last weekend, and that, you know, how much ICW and, like, more importantly, like, the deathmatch scene in America, you know, inspired those type of guys and whatever.
Sure.
And I remember this conversation, and then Joel was like, hey, do you want to have Xavier Black on the show? I was like, what? He said goodbye to me.
Yeah. He was done.
And he's like, no, he's still kicking.
He was he went through a real weight loss journey and then was like the deathmatch champion, like just recently.
Again? He's on the come up?
Like just like he had never won the full title until recently. I don't know if he's dropped it since or whatever, because I know he had a couple of health issues, but he really turned things around.
He did go away for a hot minute.
He did, yeah. He went through like a huge like it's a little bit harder for me. Obviously, I'm on the other side of the country, so I'm not with these guys all the time. But he went through like a real weight loss journey.
I'm on the other side of the world, dude. How do I have this information?
I don't know. You're plugged in more than me. There's a reason why you're a worldwide renowned promoter, and I'm just a
news reporter. You got to report this type of stuff.
I have never claimed to be a reporter. I'm just a guy that talks to my friends about bullshit on the internet.
You do that.
Yeah, that's kind of all I do.
What were the nice things that Struggles were saying about me last week?
Oh, I think you'd have to listen to the interview to see the kind of things that Struggles says. he did say that he is. We were talking a lot about, his journey in wrestling and like what led to him taking a break from it. And he did, and he did say that, like, where he essentially quit on the air, and you were like, "Did you just quit on the air?" And he was like, "Yeah." And he said that you were very supportive of him and completely understood. And he took time away, and then as it, you know, naturally came back, he said his excitement for it is very, very real again. And he said these recent shows where he was there back on deck, you know, and you guys were all together, he was like, it didn't feel like, oh, it's the reunion tour. He's like, we're back. Like, he's like, it feels awesome. It doesn't feel like rehashing anything. It feels like exciting new things are coming.
Yeah, he kind of explained that to me. Yeah. And like, I'll reiterate kind of like more about what he said towards the end. He said it wasn't like a reunion tour. It was like we all went our own separate ways, got better, and all got back together better than ever.
Yes. Yeah. Which is very exciting, you know, right?
Which that Detroit Chicago weekend really did feel like that. It felt like even Takeda, and
which is wild.
No insult. This is not an insult to anybody anywhere in the world, anywhere in America, Japan, Australia, whatever. Masashi Takeda is the best deathmatch wrestler in the world.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
And there's a gap between him and everybody else.
Sure.
And I've been watching a lot of Freedoms lately, obviously, because I have to get myself ready for this.
Absolutely.
And I don't even feel that Freedoms books Takeda the way Takeda should be booked. You know what I mean? Like, he's light years ahead of everybody there too.
I would completely agree. I mean, like, quite often I feel like on some of these shows in Japan, Takeda almost feels like an afterthought. Like, he just kind of rolls in and like does the tag and fucks off. I'm like, how is he not the champion?
Yeah, he's a
like,
tag team champion right now with Ido.
Yeah.
And Ido's great. Fine. But I don't know, man. I mean, maybe it's just like he's on his, like, you know, everybody has to take their turn type of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, Takeda took those couple of years off to take care of his daughter after his wife passed and stuff like that.
Sure, sure.
So he should be on the come up.
Yeah.
Me, I don't know.
Absolutely. But, well, I mean, he is in America now.
I am very honored to have him as the champion, and I don't even know if we're going to even leave Japan with that belt.
Yeah.
I don't. You know what I mean?
He may have other ideas about that.
Yeah. He might keep it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He's unbelievable. I'm really excited for his match with Redacted. I think that's just going to be so fun. That's like such an interesting matchup.
When is this coming out?
Before the Australian tour. I want to drop it maybe like the sort of the week leading up to it.
Well, so then by then, the public's going to know that the three title defenses are Redacted. Mm-hmm. Then John Wayne Murdoch and then Joel Bateman on the third day.
Wow.
So those are the three Takeda fights for the tour.
They're huge.
He definitely has a full slate ahead of him.
Yeah. He's getting a full serving.
and those are his fights. Even if he loses to Redacted on day one, he still has to fight John Wayne without the
Absolutely.
Belt and Joel without the belt.
Yeah. That's so cool.
But back to Australia.
Yeah, back to Australia. Let's talk about No Holds Barred 76 because I've got the full lineup here and it's absolutely stacked to the roof. So just starting from the top left of your grid here, we've got Madman Pondo versus Vixen. We have
first time ever.
First time ever. Danny DeMonto versus Michael Weaver. First time ever.
First time ever.
First time ever. Cody Manhorn versus Xavier Black. I'm going to guess that's first time ever.
It is, and I do love that matchup very much so.
Yeah.
Two huge workhorses.
Absolutely. I had the pleasure of meeting Cody Manhorn last week when we did his interview dropped this morning. And yeah, exactly. He's a lovely man, and I'm very excited for what's to come for him. Then we've got an Australian matchup. We've got Supercharged for Lido versus Jordan Sampson, which will be an absolute banger. We've got
I was told that Jordan Sampson has a bug up his ass, and his goal is to make sure that that fight steals that show.
Really?
He felt that he was a little slated in the lineup, and that he wasn't prioritized as a guy that has been in the chains as much as he has.
Sure.
So he's going to take that punishment out on his opponent.
Oh, that's – well, Valeda's been doing good things from what I hear. Whispers on the street is he's been popping off. So I think they're really going to, like, showcase. Yeah.
I hear the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Then it's MM3 versus Vic Craig. Is that a first time ever?
I believe it is a first time ever one-on-one for sure. Mm-hmm. If it'll still be a first time ever, even if we have to beat their asses in the
tag team tournament.
In the tag team tournament, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has Joel announced any of the first round matches yet?
No, not that I have seen just yet. I haven't seen the bracket or anything.
He's announced all the teams.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know the brackets yet. I was actually getting ready to harass him because I would love to know and do my due diligence before the show. Dale Patricks versus Joel Bateman.
Oh, that was my first. That was the first announced fight, right?
Yes. Yeah, I believe
that was the first. Yeah, because it was like a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
Like I consider them two very, very, like, even though Dale's never held the title, Dale was a very special part of the beginning stages.
Absolutely.
Of NHB. And I always love having Dale in No Holds Barred. And I'm so proud of the things that he's doing right now in Japan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm a big Dale fan in and outside the ring. And I want what's best for Dale. And what's best for Dale is to be in a professional wrestling ring. Cause that's when he's the most happy.
Yeah.
And, same with Joel across the board, other than I kind of like to fuck with Joel a little bit more than Dale. But another key part of ICW's history, obviously, because without Joel we would have never been in Australia the first time, let alone the second time. Mm-hmm. And he is two-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he has one of my favorite series of matches with Casey Kirk.
Yes.
I really enjoyed their stuff. Yeah, Joel and Dale was definitely my first round pick. It's definitely like, I guess you can't really consider that like the show stealer match on the card because I feel like it's also the strongest match on the entire card too.
Sure, sure. Yeah, there's so just like, something about that matchup where I just think they're going to click in a very great way. You know?
I think it might be first time. I don't know if they've ever wrestled.
Yeah,
one-on-one.
Sure. Yeah, I'm unsure as well. And then last but not least on this lineup is The Pulse versus House of Frost, which is, Guido and Crusher Cole. So those guys absolutely specialize in tag team and also tag team death if it goes there. So that's also very, very exciting.
And the wild card with that fight obviously is how many rounds are these guys going to go the night before?
Exactly.
In the tag tournament.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many rounds am I going to go? How many rounds is pretty much everybody on that card is in a 3-round deathmatch tag team tournament the night before.
Yeah. With the exception of Valido, I think nearly, everybody else. Oh, Michael Weaver. Oh fuck. I don't think your opponent
my opponent's going to be
fresh.
Fresh.
Oh no.
And there's definitely four people on that show now. Now we're doing real math. There's four people on that show that are going three rounds in a deathmatch tournament the night before.
That's wild. Good job you've got the experience into doing this shit.
I don't know the results.
Yeah.
By all means, I don't even know who I'm wrestling yet.
Yeah.
You know how Joel is.
Oh, well, yeah, so exactly. We haven't seen the bracket.
I don't even know what my first round match is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let alone who I'm beating in the fight. I mean, who I'm fighting in the final.
Look, you've got to have that attitude. You've got to stay positive. That's how you do it.
Hey, Malcolm's a workhorse. I know Malcolm could do 75% of this.
That's it. Hot tag DeMonto at the end. That's it.
That'll be me, brother.
That will be you. All right. I'm scrolling down here. We're going to get this full lineup of all the Japan matches. I know I've seen the graphic before. I mean, sure.
We don't have all the matches announced yet.
Sure.
I could spitball the ones that
Let's just spitball it then, because the graphic I'm thinking of is all the talent. And the talent for Japan is unbelievable. It's a who's who of Japanese deathmatch wrestling. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So far the first one that we announced was Dr. Redacted fighting Takeda for the belt on day one.
Absolutely.
And like I said, I spoiled it before, but day two he'll be fighting John Wayne Murdoch, Takeda. Mm-hmm. And then on day three it'll be Joel Bateman versus Takeda. And then you go back to day two and there's a tag match between me and my doctor. Mm-hmm. Against Crazy Monkey Jun Kasai and Rina Yamashita. On day three, we have Daisuke Masaoka versus Tommy Vendetta.
That
hasn't been announced yet, but it's going to be announced within the next 24 to 48 hours. So by the time this comes out, I'm going to be fighting. I'm going to have a really special fight in Japan. I'm going to be fighting Quiet Storm on day three.
Tell me about Quiet Storm, because I believe you guys have quite the history, don't you?
Yeah, so Quiet Storm was one of my first trainers 25 years ago. He taught me how to roll and lock up and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
We come from the same area. We used to work out at the same gym. And then a couple of years later, he went to Japan for a tour, fell in love with it, and moved there. And I haven't really seen him in probably about like 15 years. And we've never wrestled each other on a show one-on-one.
Wow.
We did a six-man once, but we've never wrestled each other on a show. And he's been very helpful with this whole process.
Great.
He's gonna probably be the first person I see when I get there off the plane. He's making this a lot easier for me because he's like a translator.
Yes.
He actually teaches English to Japanese people there. That's like his regular job.
Sure.
So, Dave, what else is going on those shows? Joel Bateman's going to be fighting Sasaki from Freedoms. The owner of Freedoms is fighting the owner of Deathmatch Down Under.
That's
on
cool.
Day two.
Mm-hmm.
There's a boss battle on day one, which is me versus Kobayashi versus Sasaki versus Sakuda. That's a four-way. Malcolm versus Sakuda is happening on day two.
Mm-hmm.
That's announced already. Sakuda versus John Wayne is happening on day three. So it's all dream match.
It's just, just tune in. It doesn't matter because everything is going to be unbelievable.
I honestly could have put everybody's names in a hat every single day.
Yeah.
Two names out of the hat or four names out of a hat and nothing is going to be bad.
It's just
nothing.
It's just going to work. It's so exciting. I
Joel Bateman is also wrestling Jun Kasai one-on-one.
Oh, really? That's dream match for him, obviously.
On day one.
On day one. Fuck, that's a huge match for Joel. That's so cool. This is, I can't actually believe I'm going to be at these shows. It's wild. Like the timing, we were planning on going to Japan anyway, within a month of kind of when you guys announced.
Are you guys doing anything else? Or are you going to hang out with us?
We're there for 2 weeks. We've got like a lot booked, but we've allowed those like evenings and everything.
But I'm saying like for the wrestling stuff, are you going to hang out like wherever everybody goes?
Yeah, exactly. And like if there's stuff going, we're always down to hang out with you guys. But if you're tied up and you're doing sponsors, I don't know what you're doing or whatever, we can always survive. We know Japan pretty well by now. So
there's a lot of stuff planned, but I definitely have my like go-to things that I have to do before I leave.
Sure.
I have to get my jacket. I have to
absolutely
I have to go to Matsunaga Steaks.
Yeah.
I really would like to go to Kobayashi's gym. Mm-hmm. Not Kobayashi's gym. Kobayashi's bar.
In Yokohama.
I would like to also go to Kobashi's gym, but I just don't know if that's going to be time-wise. I would also love to go to Disney if it fit, but I feel like that's like a whole day.
It's a whole day.
And I don't think I'm ever going to have a whole day for anything, let alone Disney.
And that's the thing, right? It's like you're only there for like a limited amount of time. So you really want to wring the most out of like the most experiences you can out of that time, you know? And I'm sure, like you say, you got to make through that bucket list. Like,
we're doing 5 live shows, 2 meet and greets. I'm doing a talk show of some sort.
Sick.
And that's all work.
Yeah.
And it's over an 8-day period.
Yep.
And I'm still trying to get all those other things that, you know, in between. So
absolutely.
There's 2 full days that we're doing like, you know, no shows.
Yeah.
It's in between the last ICW show and the Sakuta show. There's a 2-day gap.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to try to cross off as much as my go-to bucket list.
Yeah.
While the shows are going on, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. During the days. Yeah.
So like, those 2 days could possibly be somewhat of a bonus, but I don't think anything. I think it's going to just be go.
Yeah,
go,
absolutely.
Go.
You just got to do that thing where it's like, despite having a death match last night, I need to like set the alarm, get up in the morning, get on the train and fucking go, you know, and get in as much as I can.
5 death matches.
That's
5
it. Death matches. It's like, you know what? I'll fucking sleep when I'm back in America. Like that's the fight.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, I don't know if, this might be my first and my last.
Yeah.
My clock is ticking.
Sure.
I know my clock is ticking.
Yeah.
I'm going full blast right now, but Japan was the only thing left on the list.
That's so cool,
I mean, I could, you know, if I wanted to get picky, I could say I really want to make it to Cork and Hall.
Yeah.
So I have to go back.
Yeah. But hey, like, you can always add things to the bottom of that bucket list, right? You're like, I have no choice, but I've got to go back.
And then, like, you know, a new deathmatch star comes out, and I'm like, damn, man, I got to get my hands on that boy before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or girl, you know?
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't sit just with men these days.
Sure, no.
Because Casey Kirk.
Yeah.
Still my favorite deathmatch run ever.
Yeah.
Male or female.
Yeah. She was something special, wasn't she? Shout out, Casey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Missed. Yeah. Very missed. I will say that, like, this is definitely going to be something special. It's going to be something for the books, getting it all in. If you're, you know, trying to fucking get somewhere and you can't figure it out and quiet isn't around or whatever and you need help navigating anything, just hit us up and let us know.
Oh,
we're pretty good at getting around Japan at this stage, and we are filling in the days and things like that, but we can always get advice to you, or we can get over, or we can do whatever. Just make sure you've got your data sorted on your phone, you know, get a data sim and stuff like that. Then Google Maps can get you anywhere, brother. It's like, I need to go to Yokohama, get on the red train, go to the blue train, you know, like it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it makes it really easy, like just making That's sure good. You've got that internet so
I'm
you
never
can do
gonna
that.
Be by myself.
He's yeah. gonna be, he, You'll get minders sure and stuff, yeah.
Gonna, I'm pretty sure he's going to be with me like every step of the way, or somebody's going to be with me that knows exactly what they're doing.
Absolutely. And they're gonna be able to traverse it even easier than we can, you know. But yeah, if you do find yourself in a thing where there's nobody around and you can't figure out how to do something, or you want to get somewhere, just
our hotel. Our hotel isn't close. I think the hotel is like 45 minutes.
The new venue that you guys are in, that's kind of not really close. You know, it's a little bit of a thing to get to. You've kind of got to train in and then either walk or bus or whatever. Like, so even just navigating that will be something a bit different.
Yeah.
But the great thing about Japan is you can kind of walk everywhere.
It's centrally located.
Yeah.
It's centrally located, but like there's not a lot around there.
Yeah. So exactly. It's not like the train is, I don't know, 15 minutes away or something like that, 10, 15 minutes.
I'm going to be in Japan floating on fucking air.
It won't matter.
So traveling 45 minutes to the venue it means absolutely nothing.
Nah, and I love being on Japanese trains. I love walking in the streets. You can drink on the streets. You can have a beer as you're fucking walking on the thing.
Oh, really?
You can go into like a 7-Eleven or a Family Mart or whatever, buy yourself like a 9% strong zero can and just sip on that bad boy as you walk like to the venue and stuff like that. You can bring drinks into venues. Like you could go to Currican Hall with a bag of beers and they don't care. Like it's just totally fine. Bring in your own food. Like
I've been told the culture over there is a little bit different than how we're a little bit more loose. They don't really like the wrestlers drinking before the matches.
Sure. Yeah. That is so probably fair. You're there to do a job kind of thing, but then afterwards I know they definitely can get
They instantly afterwards. Like they actually, from what I'm told, there's a couple of fans, I've been communicating with a couple of fans that are already in Japan. Mm-hmm. Like they're Americans, but they live in Japan now.
Yeah.
And they just went to Tokyo Square a couple of weeks ago to watch the Freedom Show.
Uh-huh.
And on the microphone, they encourage the fans to buy the wrestlers drinks.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So like
they're working.
It's obviously encouraged.
Yeah.
It's obviously encouraged.
And usually like the merch stands and everything like that, you know, everybody's milling around after the shows normally and taking photos and selling gimmicks and like having a drink and things like that. Whenever we've been, it's been like a really chummy vibe, you know, when you go to like a Shinkiba First Ring or even the Currican Hall shows. Like
that's where Freedoms is.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
The Freedom show is going to be at that
first at Shinkiba. Ring. Yeah, exactly. Are you going
to
the Freedom
show?
Yeah, we're going to the Freedom show as well. The only one we're not going to is the Dai show.
It's Freedoms versus ICW.
Oh, well, that's amazing. That's even better. I didn't realize you guys were up in that one as well. So, yeah, we've got tickets to all the ICW shows, the Freedom show that's in the middle there. We just can't get to Dai because by then we thought everything was done and we're like heading out into the mountains and then we're like, we can't get back, which I'm fucking spewing about because Despy's versing Jun Kasai in their last match ever in Currican Hall on the 26th, but we're like so far away from it by the time that happens.
Really?
Yeah. They just announced it.
That's
and I was
the day
like,
after I'm leaving too.
That it's so annoying. I was like, you motherfuckers. Yeah. Like I could get there, but I would not be able to get back because there'd be no trains like out to the mountains and stuff. It'd be 2 hours.
Why is it their last match?
They've just declared that it's the last one. I don't know whether Despy's like, I'm now signing seriously with New Japan in the sense that they want me to stop doing death matches or whatever. But that's what it said in the article. You know, there's translations and things you never
know. What's the latest? Do you know the latest with Mad Dog?
Our Mad Dog?
Yeah, you're a Mad Dog.
I do not. The last I'd heard he was injured. I don't know where he is. I should really message them. I mean, you can't message Mad Dog, but there are people around him that you can contact. And I should check up on him actually and see how he's tracking.
Yeah, I was wondering. I know he's not going to be back in time for this weekend, but I was just wondering if there was a timetable.
Yeah, I'll find out. I'll find out and I'll let you know. Hopefully he'll be there to hang out because he's. Yeah, he's.
I'm hoping he's going to be here too.
Yeah.
He was a good dude.
Yeah, he's a lovely person. He's the only person that I've ever interviewed on this podcast via phone because he doesn't know how to use the internet. Basically, so I had to call him and Bluetooth my phone into the computer.
Well, Vixen definitely knows how to set things up and do things like that.
Yeah, he likes to do things a certain way.
Yeah.
He was up until very recently, like, he only got a mobile phone because I stopped using payphones around his area. Like, he likes to do it old school.
Really?
Know? Yeah, yeah. He
was like, just to stay disconnected.
Yeah,
in the world.
He's just like, if I have a mobile phone, people can contact me, and I want to choose when I'm contacted, kind of thing. It's an amazing man.
I understand
it. Yeah, yeah.
I get it.
Absolutely. I mean, we've just been chatting now, and you said you're like, I can't even escape all the notifications and things like that, you know.
You should see what the panic is in my mornings every single day. Like, I put my glasses on, and I could barely, like, see, and then I could see my lock screen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoosh.
Jesus.
And then the next half hour is just clearing the stuff that came in overnight, because I deal with so many people.
Yeah.
In different time zones now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I'll deal with like you, Joel, and like Kiego from Japan and stuff like that at nighttime.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the messages from Japan and like those overseas stuff will come in after I fall asleep.
Yeah.
But then I deal with the people in the United Kingdom now too.
Yeah.
And Scotland. So they're ahead of us, so they wake up earlier. So it's kind of like I'm never talking to somebody on a business situation that's at the same time as me.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so hard to tee up shit with the UK. Like when Andy and I like do the Bleeding Gums commentary and post and shit. We have a 7 hour difference. And that's a fuck, right? Like, so if we're going to call it, it's like midnight his time and 7 a.m. my time. You know what I mean? Not ideal for anybody kind of thing. Nobody's at their best at either of those times.
And there really isn't ever, you know, like what time are you going to do that other than like maybe noon and 7 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
That would probably be
your
best bet.
I did do one because we also did one with a gentleman from the States as well. John Bullard was also on one of the shows with us. So we had to line up all three time zones. And I swear, by the end of that show, we did that kind of thing night. And by the time we finished, it was, I think, 1 a.m. my time. And I was almost falling asleep in the main event, hey? Like, it was so – I had nothing left in me. He's like, oh, that was crazy. I'm like, crazy. Like, my eyes are basically closed. Like, I was just at the end of fucking dog racing, man. Like, there's only so much I can do as a 42-year-old man.
You saw that Alton Thorne – fucking
promo calling you out. Yeah, absolutely. Great promo. But who's this motherfucker? Yeah. You excited for that? You got to show him a thing or two?
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited for Scotland for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm excited for that guy.
I think he is, I mean, is the United Kingdom deathmatch champion right now. And I think how Bleeding Gums is built, and from his first moment in that company, him and Jack Harrop were really, it was kind of great how the promotion organically built around the two of them. You know what I mean? And not around a title and stuff. They just started talking at each other, chirping at each other instantly, and they drew that attention. And I think
similar to John Wayne and Eric Ryan.
Yes. Remember yes,
that,
exactly.
That started off without a belt.
Yeah.
And then I got forced into a title.
I know the story well, but hey, it's a great looking title. Yeah, absolutely. It's paid off. I mean, look at it. It's in Japan right now. It's now a legit world title. I know, which is wild. I think you and Thorne, I think that's going to be an all-timer, man. I'm very excited for it.
One thing I do want to talk about, and we kind of like dangled by it a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you brought up struggles needed to take a break?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And there's some people taking breaks right now.
Yeah.
And I took a break. ICW took a whole ass break for 5 months.
Yeah.
And before the break, you kind of had that constant feeling like this could probably just shut down.
Yeah.
At any minute. Like it's fun, but like, enjoy the fun while it lasts, because this could probably just shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I took a 5-month break, and I really needed to have that feeling inside of me that there wasn't something ahead.
Yeah.
To really start to, like, I don't know, appreciate the level that we were able to bring this to, mm-hmm. and appreciate what we had right at our fingertips, and say, how do I bring this to the levels that I always dreamt of doing?
Yeah.
And during that time, I spent 2 days without a show booked. And then I booked the return date 2 days after the break.
Did you really?
Because then I just needed, because I needed something.
Yeah.
Because I'm mental.
Yeah.
And then I started booking the second one and the third one. And then I said, not very good at having time off. Like, you know what I'm going to do? During this time, I'm going to get a blueprint of how I'm going to lay this out and how I'm going to make sure that this is either the run that brings deathmatch wrestling into the forefront, or this is going to be the absolute craziest run with blowing up the bridge at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But no matter what, people are going to be talking about the ICW run that started in 2025. Mm-hmm. And however long this goes, it's going to go.
Yeah.
But there's never going to be a time that people are going to feel like, oh, this is probably one of their B shows coming up this weekend. Or, you know, were there even announcements for this show? Like, I hear it all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hear all the good. I hear all the bad. That's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we had that slogan, you know, till the wheels fall off. I don't want to hear that anymore, because I feel like the wheels are pretty much reset.
Yeah.
Brand new fucking wheels. And something really bad would have to happen to the car in order for the wheels to fall off.
Sure. I know what you mean. Like, it started like, yeah, like, but it is sort of like a demise mindset, right? Like, when you say that slogan, it's like, it is going to end. And yeah.
There was a lot, you know what I mean? Like, we went from Heart Ballroom to H2O just to be a little bit more comfortable on the financial end.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like that hurt the New Jersey scene a little bit, because it's a little bit easier to get to. I know this doesn't mean anything to you, but it's a lot easier for people to get to the Heart Ballroom than it is for people to get to the H2O venue.
Yeah. How long are you talking, like a drive?
Well, the Heart Ballroom is 4 minutes from the airport.
Okay.
The Newark International Airport.
Yeah, right. So even if people were going to fly in,
Flying in, it's a quick little Uber.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's right smack in the center of the state.
Yeah, okay.
It's 45 minutes from New York if someone wants to get from New York, mm-hmm. and you can get public transportation from New York that drops you off right in front of the building.
Yeah.
So it's very easy. In order to get to H2O, it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours south of Newark.
Sure.
By car, and by car only.
Yeah.
There's no buses. There's no trains.
Yeah.
So it altered the scene a little bit in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, at one point, we lost the Berwyn Eagle building, and I had to move over to Logan Square in Chicago. And Logan Square has a little bit more limitations as far as deathmatch goes. So I felt like I was selling out a little bit by not doing like full death in Chicago, after doing full death in Chicago since the day I ever went out there.
Sure.
I've always been pedal to the metal for the Chicago fans, because I knew it was a big fan base and great market. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to give them, you know, an A show. Mm-hmm. And I stopped giving them the A show because I had to cut out all the violence. We couldn't go over guardrails. You couldn't use any of the, you know, there was so many rules.
Yeah.
But now we're back in Berwyn. We have a pretty cool rivalry going on between Chicago and Detroit, which is a fun little thing. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, living through the ECW days, New York and Philadelphia used to rival each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it would always be like, fuck you, Philly, fuck you, New York. And it would always go back and forth. So I feel like we needed to recreate something like that. Yeah. And we've recreated it with Chicago and Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. It's funny, like those logistics, it's something that probably not a lot of fans always think about, like how the logistics of venues and things like that can actually drastically affect what a promoter's doing. You know, like you say, you had to make these choices, or we're going to save a little bit of back end and things like that, and affects the shows.
And if you're at the top, and if you're at the top of a scene, which I will humbly say, ICW definitely is the number one deathmatch company in America.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You can alter an entire territory with your own actions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if I go to a smaller venue, then the person underneath me is going to go to a smaller venue and so on.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
not going to be a show. Perception is everything.
Yeah.
So if I'm putting 200 people in a building and what I'm considered is the top in the area, there's not going to be anybody doing above that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're setting a benchmark.
GCW
yeah.
When they do their tournaments, when Tournament of Survival pops up and the NGI pops up, those are destination shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like 2 times a year, wherever GCW runs that, obviously they're going to pull a crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You, despite being bad at taking a break, like you said, you took a break and within days you were already planning the new thing. Was it still nice to – because I think another thing that doesn't really get talked about is the burnout isn't just from like the shows themselves, right? It's like the travel, it's the logistics, it's the in and out, it's the talking to people. It's like all the tiny things. Like I've never been a part of a touring wrestling company, but I have been a part of a touring band. And we did that for like many years, right? And you're on top of each other and you're in and out of cities and you're just doing this one thing and then you're leaving and everyone's like, it must be a party. It's not. It's fucking work, you know? It can be absolutely exhausting. And then you were doing it at such a big and regular scale. That does take wear and tear on everybody.
It's 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
I'm awake, you know what I mean? My ICW is a 24-hour...
Yeah, the phone's going off, people around the world selling merch, like doing things, yeah, just nonstop.
What I do for myself, which I would definitely recommend to other people because it's definitely a positive thing, I go to the gym every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to the gym every day, hitting that do not disturb my phone is the biggest motivation to get to the gym every day.
That's great.
Because I know that for that hour and a half, you know, to 2 hours that I'm spending in the gym, no one can get a hold of me except for my mother if she calls me.
Yeah.
But
she's on the exemption list.
My mother doesn't call me.
Yeah.
She only texts me. So if she calls me, that means there's a problem.
Yeah, sure.
And she's the only person that has that access to me. And I do feel that it's a part of the mental part of this
that I have to
learn, because I don't want to hit that burnout again.
Yeah.
At least not for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I never really took a break outside of injuries, ever in 25 years. Like there was never like a, hey, I'm just not doing this because I'm going to go work this regular job. I never did that. I was the grind always was either as a wrestler or as a promoter.
Yeah.
As a promoter, since NHB1 started, there was never obviously a break until that 5 months. And I can't tell you how important that break was.
Yeah.
Because if the break didn't happen, I would still be behind that eight ball, struggling to draw a crowd in Chicago because I'm running B shows in Chicago.
Yeah.
And you could even see it on my face in the ring.
Yeah.
There's
you shared that picture or whatever. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'm sitting there breaking little pieces of glass in my lap, depressed as all fuck.
Yeah.
Saying, why am I still doing this, dude? There's been times that I'm standing in Gorilla, my music playing. I could hear my music playing and I'm spraying my face with water saying, wake the fuck up, asshole.
Yeah.
Wake the fuck up. You have to go do this.
When you're feeling that or have felt it, I think I get it too, like where I definitely feel burnout. Does it like, to me, it feels like a flatness, right? Like, I'm normally like a pretty motivated person and I get, you know, there's things I'm into and I feel excited about them. And there's nothing worse than the feeling of like turning on a show or like going to do a thing that you like, but just feeling nothing about it. Like, I just feel this like empty flatness in my chest where I'm like, I can't get up for this. You know what I mean? I can't feel this excited for it.
This is all I've ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
So if it's the thing that I've always wanted to do and I'm doing it and I don't like it, there's a problem.
That's fucked.
There's a problem. Absolutely. And that's in me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have to remember I didn't come this far just to fucking come this far. And I didn't have my grandmother when I was 2 years old read me back the results of my action figure company that I started when I was 2 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this has been my entire life.
Yeah.
And all I ever wanted to do when I first started training was go to Japan, and I never went to Japan.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to Japan and I'm fighting the crazy fucking monkey.
Yeah. It's wild.
You know, it's crazy. And some people will try to do a little chuckle on the side and be like, oh, well, you brought yourself to Japan and you gave yourself the crazy monkey.
It's not that fucking easy,
dude. Those people are stupid.
Yeah.
Those people are stupid.
You don't just walk into Japan and go, hey, John, let's fucking go. Like, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, I'm this Mark. I'm a Mark promoter, Jun Kasai. Can you please just come wrestle me and carry me? Because I don't know. I very much earned everything that is ahead of me.
Absolutely.
And
the point is, you're not the kind of person that's ever just going to pay money and throw it like in a fucking hole to go and tick this thing off. The point is that you want to do this tour and have it be profitable and like be flown there and do these things. That is the goal, not just to be there, because you could have been there fucking anytime. You can get on a plane, you can just go. You know what I mean? You can pay and be in a match.
Like, go to Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you can, I'm sure you can put it right way. Yeah, exactly. And feel like you said, you want to fucking go to Ribera and it's like you get taken there and you fucking have that experience and you do those things. That's the goal, and that's to do the things. But doing it the right way is the way to do it, not just fucking strolling in and paying your way, because then you're just doing fan service. You're not actually achieving that goal, you know?
And I think I'm going to make a couple of more dollars doing it this way than I would have done it if I was just the wrestler.
Well, yeah, exactly. That would just cost you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's going to be.
I'm bringing my entire company there. Yeah. We're running three of our own shows. We're performing on two other shows. I'm doing a talk show. I'm doing two meet and greets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm doing it with the people that I picked to do it with.
Yeah.
I wasn't forced to use anybody. The Japanese talent, he said, hey, what talent do you want to use?
Mm-hmm.
I gave him a list.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said yes. And I used exactly who it was first round draft picks across the board.
Yeah.
Except Cruel.
Yeah.
Cruel was definitely a first round draft pick. He just couldn't get off of real life.
Could you imagine Cruel in Japan? Fucking hell, I wish he was going.
That's why I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing for it, because I really think that if I bring him there.
Yeah.
He's probably going to turn into like, you know, like that's going to become
his. That's Gojira shit. That's like, fucking.
Yeah, it's like Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
Getting brought over there the first time. Like, his life is going to change most likely whenever he goes over there the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. Now that's amazing. It's very, very exciting. I think the connections and stuff you're going to build, the relationships and things like that, I could absolutely see it becoming like an ongoing thing, and I just hope that's the case. So as we wrap up, I've got
the goal.
That's the goal. That's it. And then
the truly goal worldwide is for company. The first time for them realize the value of the chains and the difference between, you know, just a regular company coming over there and doing another thing that's just like
it's gonna feel so different to what they are used to. It's going to feel so different.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they know that could happen two times a year, for example, going forward, I feel like it's going to be an attraction every single time.
Absolutely. I think
and there's that crazy monkey that I have I have a job, and I have to get him back to the United States.
Yeah, sure.
I have to.
Yeah.
There's a little honey badger that has to fulfill his
he's got to fulfill his destiny. Yeah.
And I really feel that needs to be done in the United States and not anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as Neil looks to wind down, that would be something amazing if he could achieve that goal before he finishes up. I've got kind of two things, I think, as we start to wrap up here. I think let's just have you shout out what you think. It's going to be wild. Is there any way that you can pick what you think is going to be your match of the weekend in Japan? And then I want to hear, when we hit the Do Not Disturb in the gym, what's on the Danny D'Amato playlist? They're the last two things as we start to finish up.
Okay. on the playlist, when I'm working out, I listen to a lot of Spanish music.
Okay.
Which people would never expect because I don't understand Spanish completely. But it gets me fired up and it gets me going.
Do you mean like Spanish Latino hip hop, or are you talking like flamenco guitar? Yeah,
reggaeton, mm-hmm. if you know what that means. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's just like very upbeat and fast paced.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. it gets me going. Mm-hmm. And what was the other question again?
And then if you had to pick a match, if somebody could tune in for the whole weekend and had to pick one match to watch, what would it be?
Of mine or the whole weekend?
Let's do both.
I can't
putting you on the spot, sorry.
I can't bet against Jun Kasai.
Yeah.
So teaming with Dr. Redacted against Jun Kasai and Rena, I would have to probably pick for mine. Yep. As much as the Quiet Storm fight means a lot to me, mm-hmm. and the boss battle definitely means a lot to me, I'm finding the greatest.
Yeah.
To me, he's the greatest of all time. Takeda is the current best.
Yeah.
But to me, Jun Kasai is the greatest.
Sure.
I don't think that we're going to have the best fight of the weekend, though. So let me think about the best fight of the weekend.
It's so hard.
I have John Wayne versus Takeda. So I can't. How do you bet against that?
I mean, these are worldwide aces, right? Like that's
and Takeda ducked John for so long. Like they've had matches now, but there's a special little connection with those two. And you know, if Redacted doesn't win the belt mm-hmm. on day one, mm-hmm. it's John Wayne fighting for the American Deathmatch title again against Masashi Takeda in Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah. That's I mean, you're talking about the guy like who was the uncrowned champion of ICW, no holds barred almost from the start, you know, then the first champ. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The belt was created to be put on him.
Yeah.
And that decision was made by the locker room, not by me.
Yeah.
I was bullied into making that fucking belt. And the people that told me to make the belt were everybody except him. And they said, listen, to solidify him as your guy and as the top guy mm-hmm. in this scene, you have to put a belt on him and you have to make that belt the best belt in the world.
Yeah.
And what I could do real fast to pretty much end up the night. Think about the title history of the American Deathmatch World Championship.
Wild.
John Wayne Murdoch, Reed Bentley, mm-hmm. Eric Ryan, mm-hmm. Casey Kirk, mm-hmm. Joel Bateman twice, mm-hmm. Hoodfoot, mm-hmm. Atticus Coger, mm-hmm.
Bobby Beverly.
Bobby won it for the 24 hours.
Names on the plate. You said Reed. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, and Brandon Kirk.
Brandon Kirk. And then Masashi Takeda.
All hitters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
to who so?
I didn't want a belt, but once I had a belt, I wanted to make it the best belt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Worldwide. Absolutely.
And that's another two people that I do wish that I had in Japan with me, but it was just never in the cards.
Yeah,
but sure. The Kirks definitely crawled for us to run at this point. Yeah. And I'm bummed that they didn't make it to the finish line and they didn't make it there. Sure. But you never know what the future holds. But, you know, I do wish that Casey, Brandon, and Cruel were joining us in
Yeah, they're going to be missed. It's going to almost... I know we only did the one run of shows like the last time, but it's going to feel weird not having Casey and Cruel there. They were such a huge part of like the first Australian tour, you know?
Oh, the Australian tour too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This tour is going to be very, very different than that last one. The last one was very emotional.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of things that were pinned up against us going into it. We almost like... The plug was almost pulled on us at the airport.
Yeah, I remember.
In California, yeah. You know, so and most of us were experiencing international travel for, you know, the first or second time.
So there
was a lot of emotions. This time around we're a little bit more seasoned. Mm-hmm. I've been to multiple countries with Malcolm already. Mm-hmm. So I kind of know what that's entailed. I just got a message from Japan and a bunch of Japanese writing that I'm going to have to translate when I get off the...
get that into Google Translate. Well, business is calling, so I'm going to let you get out of here. Tell everybody where to find everything.
Please send my love to her, please. Send my love to her.
I will. She's asleep right now.
Tell her to have that Hennessy on fucking rock.
We'll have it ready for you. Don't worry about that. Danny's shouting out my wife. We all got to know each other pretty well last Australian tour, and we get on awesome. I will absolutely tell Amy that you said hello, and we can't wait to see you in person, my man. Tell everybody where to find you and find everything and support ICW.
Facebook, ICW No Holds Barred. Twitter, ICWNHB, the same thing on Instagram, it's ICW No Holds Barred, I think.
I'll put the links in the show notes, it's fine, I'll put you on the spot. Everybody knows where to fucking find it. If you listen to this, you know what the fuck it is, so it's fine.
100%. If you made it this far, you know how to fucking contact me, motherfucker.
That's it. So yeah, make sure you do that.
I can't wait to be in Australia with you, my brother.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thank you so much for your time, man. It's so great to see you. Can't wait to give you a hug.
And you know, just another side note, you might not even know, Sayazawa's coming to Australia.
I did know that. I messaged him when I found out. I was like, what do you mean? I saw him just when we were last in Japan. He's another very good friend of ours. And seeing him in Australia and drinking beers with him and you at the same time probably is going to be an absolutely wild experience. So I can't wait.
Right?
what fucking world do we live in, hey? What world am I going to be in the room with Danny DeMonto? Madman Pondo,
we worked
say
very hard to get this world.
Yeah,
we worked very hard to get. That's another one, Pondo, that really fucking crawled to make sure that we could all do what we're doing now.
He really did. Like Pondo. You're talking to a man that was fucking defending the JCW title in Australia when nobody had even been here. You know what I mean? Wrestling Mad Dog in a Chinese restaurant and stuff. Like he's grinding it out like so long ago.
That happened.
That. Absolutely happened. He dropped the belt. He wasn't even supposed to. They don't even know he did it. Mad Dog was the JCW champion for like a week.
Oh.
Absolutely wild. Thank you. Thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you keep your eyes peeled on IWTV. If you're not going to be able to get to these shows, they'll all get there and you'll be able to see everything ICW No Holds Barred in Australia and in Japan. So until I'm looking at Danny DeMonto, you know what it's going to be. It's peace, love, and fucking deathmatch wrestling. Peace out. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast, and you can check out the Count Out Network and all our sister shows over there at Count Out Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.